Hello again, it's Patrick Kelly with the KWCA podcast. On today's program, we are joined by Chanute head coach Andy Albright. By most observations, Chanute High School is considered a wrestling school. Their tradition of producing solid teams year in and year out, maintaining good roster numbers, and a show of support from the club level through the high school makes it a program that has been, is, and will be a force for years to come. In 2004, Andy Albright, the seventh head coach in the history of the program, was hired. His tenure has produced 10 of the program's 21 top 10 finishes at state, an impressive stat for a program that has been around since 1966. Further, the Albright era accounts for all three of the state trophies that the school has earned. We may talk about that, maybe a little dispute in that, but officially, three state trophies. Defending 2019 4A state champion Marysville returned a loaded roster and high expectations for the 2019-20 season. The odds-on favorite to repeat had another outstanding season and a state tournament under the leadership of Cole Fredrickson, but the Blue Comets poured it on as the season progressed and left little doubt who the favorite was heading into Salina. After the dust settled, the only surprise was the wreckage that the guys from Southeast Kansas left. They outdistanced Marysville by 57 points, coming away with 9 medalists, including 4 finalists, including champions Trent Clemens at 106 and Braden Dillo at 182. With us on the line is 4A Coach of the Year, Andy Albright of Chanute High School. Coach, welcome to the program.
Hey, Coach Kelly, thank you so much for having me, and appreciate you selling the sport to everybody and doing all these awesome podcasts.
All right, well, thank you. So you're coming off somewhat disappointing sixth-place finish in 2019, but had to feel good about the shape of your lineup heading into the 2019-20 season. Give us a brief recap of the championship season, and when did you feel comfortable that you were in the driver's seat to capture Chanute's first wrestling state title?
You know, 2019 was a disappointment to the boys and myself, and really, you know, Coach, that was a kind of tough, man. I think a lot of people don't realize how much pressure coaches put on themselves, and I really struggled, you know, and I've told this to people several times that, you know, I got a great family, great friends, and love the sport, but, you know, after the 2019 season, the way we finished, you know, we had two kids that didn't place that I felt should have placed, and actually three, and some of the kids didn't place as high, and I really struggled with it. And so basically all off season in freestyle and Greco, I was just trying to think about how I was going to approach the 2020 season. And I started thinking, and, you know, I have really good kids and I have really good families, and I should be grateful for that. And I kind of stepped back, and all I've ever talked about since 2004 was our goals, you know, win the league, win regionals, and win state. And I thought, you know what? Let's just stop talking about that and let's not talk about winning state at all. And so I had a team meeting in May and I told the boys, you're not going to hear me mention winning state and you're not going to hear me mention winning league or regionals or anything like that. And I said, all I want you guys to do is go out and score points and score as many as you can. And I said, I'm not going to say a word. And so I kind of held true to that promise, and we kind of started going as the season started, Coach, and we started wrestling pretty well, and, you know, just all year we had fun and focused, and it was a great group of kids that had a lot of parent support. I wish I could take credit for 2020, but I can't. I mean, I think the job was done in Pee Wee League when all these kids were wrestling. Like, all 9 of our kids wrestled USA, and I think 7 of them or 6 of them have wrestled at Fargo. So it shows that they put in the time, and I just got lucky enough just to kind of be the guy in the corner. And, you know, as the season went on, we just kind of kept wrestling better and better and just wrestled, you know, peaked at the right time. And actually, Coach, you'll get a giggle out of this, and you can ask some of the boys. It was the last round of the state tournament was when I finally told them. I said, hey, I think we've won state. And they said, Coach, you finally said it. You know, they said, you finally talked about a state championship. They said, you never mentioned it since May. So they knew. But, you know, it's just all the work that they put in. And I was just lucky enough to kind of be the coach, in my opinion.
Well, I think you do, as a fellow coach, to see the things that you do. I think you do deserve and earn a lot of that credit. I mean, your whistle doesn't have much time to collect dust. You do a lot to create opportunities for your guys and encourage off-season training and competition. So what's your philosophy about March through October that helps make November through February so successful?
I think anybody that's not, involved or pushing kids to freestyle and Greco or off-season wrestling, I think you're behind the eight ball. I don't think we have enough time in a season with only, 14 weeks, 15 weeks. So I think you go around and you look at these teams that are successful, and they're putting in the time in the off season. I mean, Fargo is huge, and camps. Go to NEO, go to Oklahoma State, going to Nebraska or Nebraska Corn. You're wherever these guys are going, and you have to put in the time in the summer. I don't feel like these kids become great just not practicing their skills, and putting them in tough situations. And so we spend a lot of time in the summer. We go down to, starting in March, we start going down and wrestling with teams down in Oklahoma. We drive down to Tulsa one day a week, and then, we're fortunate to have Nick Nothern with the Neosho RTC there at Neosho. And then, we go ahead and keep going and try to go to as many freestyle tournaments as we can. And then we push into, we have our own camp, our True Blue Wrestling Camp, which is held basically Oklahoma State runs it. And we have that every year. And then we go to NEO, which is competition. And then after we go to NEO, we've always gone to OSU for the last, 7-8 years. And then at that time, kids start kind of focusing on football and stuff. And the kids that are still wanting to wrestle go to Fargo and go compete at that level. So we really spend a lot of time wrestling. And I think that's important to get kids better at wrestling. You have to be on the mat.
Yeah, well, I tell you, that's a mouthful with what your off season entails. So the 2020 state title represents really a slow boil that has been going on since your arrival in 2004. You had runner-up finishes in 2014 and 15, along with 7 other top 10 finishes during your tenure. What were the key factors, and you kind of already talked about it, but what are the key factors that bring that level of success to the program? And at this time, maybe it does, maybe you should explain a little bit that there is some controversy. Back in the early 80s, I believe it was, there was a tie, and you guys actually have a state trophy, but I think officially you're fourth in the standings. Kind of explain that first, but then talk about the key to the success of your program.
Well, what's interesting about 1996 is because I was in high school at Fort Scott, which is a league opponent to Chanute, and Ulysses and Columbus tied. And so I believe we were fourth, but those both got the first place trophies. And so then I'm not sure who was second exactly, but we ended up being third. And what's really crazy about that, do you remember the name Jason Blanding?
I don't.
Jason Blanding was a cadet or Greco All-American, got third. And at Chanute, his sophomore year, he went undefeated in 1995. And then they moved to Paola. And in 1996, he won his second state title. And so anyways, if he would not have moved away, we would have won it that year.
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty interesting. Yeah, so he won a state title for Paola. If they wouldn't have moved, Chanute wins it that year. That's the story, what happened in 1996. But I know Chanute was really good that year because we were in the conference with him. So Columbus got first, and they got third. So that was SDK was loaded up. As far as the success that Chanute's had, it's all been these kids coming from good kids clubs and wrestling all the time. We've had lots of different kids clubs, and they produce lots of good kids. And so the cupboard's never been dry since I've been there. We've always had good kids coming in, and that's easy to work with. And then those kids kind of help their partners get better, and we grow kids from there. But yeah, it's all about the kids club and the feeder programs of just getting the high school team better, in my opinion. And I just kind of try to organize it and manage it and put them in the right opportunities to win.
Well, so now that you've reached the top, so aside from winning titles now, what do you hope your legacy with the Chanute program is long after you retire?
This was a pretty fun year of just history because I got to be a part of the girls program and getting that started. I take a lot of pride in that. That was really awesome. You know, I have three daughters, and we pulled and we started the year with 33 girls that never wrestled this year. So that was really pretty awesome. Obviously, winning a state title. But I think, you know, when I leave Chanute at the end of the day, what I'm going to be most proud of is the relationships I built, you know, and continue relationships. I got a lot of good friends, some awesome parent support over there, and a lot of boys that I you know, I really love and cherish all the time I've ever spent with them, and their dedication to the sport of wrestling, which I love so much. And you know, I've been just blessed to share it with them. So I would say probably the relationships, you know, Coach, ultimately just the relationships I built there.
Yeah. Well said. So I had a chance to catch up with Coach Travis Keel earlier this summer and talk about his Coach of the Year honors for 6A, the state title that he won, also the first in the school history for Mill Valley. And you two are friends and fellow Southeast Kansas natives. So what was your message to Coach Keel after the results were in from the 2020 state tournament? And I've got to tell him, you know, you're kind of laughing a little bit there. I told Coach Keel, I said, you know, he probably called you, knowing the jokester that Coach Albright is, and told him that Acacia rescored it and Mill Valley actually got third.
Yeah. You know, I was watching pretty hard. It was more enjoyable to kind of watch and see what was going on down south to kind of take the pressure off, if that makes any sense. Like trying to get your mind off of the actual state tournament that you're at, just because you know how close you are. But you know, Travis is a great friend of mine, and I love him dearly, and he's been a good friend since I started coaching, and he's always been real positive. So it was really exciting. Like I don't know how many people sent me text, you know, when I got home, because I turned my phone off, you know, for text message and stuff, because I just wanted to be with the boys coming home. But when I finally got home on Sunday, you know, it was so many people. It was like, I can't believe you and Travis, you guys both, your teams both won state on the same year.
Yeah.
You know? There was a lot of people that were commenting on how funny it is that we both, our teams were successful in the same year. But, you know, Travis is, he's a grinder, man. He puts in the time, and he puts in the time and works with not only his kids, but every kid in the state. So I was really happy for Travis. And I think that's awesome, because I know he built that program from the ground up. You know, I can't say that about Chanute. I've been fortunate enough to have, you know, Coach Eric Methven and Dr. Bowman and Jim Woods in front of me that kind of built that program. So what Travis did, you know, building it from the ground up is really impressive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with a trio of state finalists returning, the cupboard is anything but bare for the 2020-21 Comets. Give us a preview of what you expect from this year's team.
You know, I expect us to be really exciting and continue to score points. You know, just looking at our first three weights, you know, with Colton Meisner and Trent Clements and Trey Dillo. I mean, those three, it's just fun to watch those guys practice. And I catch myself sometimes at practice just watching those three. All three of them were state placers this year, two of them finalists. And then the Trey Dillo, I mean, he probably weighed at the start of the season 110, 111, you know, and he can't beat Trent and he can't beat Colton. And so, I mean, if he's just a small little kid, but now he's filling out right now. So I'm really excited to see those three. I mean, they're really fun to watch. Colton Seeley was a surprise to a lot of people. He placed this year, but he wasn't a surprise to us or any of his teammates. We all know how strong he is and how mentally tough he is. And so he found a medal. And then we had that young freshman, Ty Leedy, his brother Gage Leedy, and his cousin Adam Leedy all wrestled for me and were state placers. And Ty placed fifth as a freshman. I know he was disappointed, but he's going to get better. And then, you know, we have returning state champ Braden Dillo, absolutely great kid, one of the hardest working kids I've ever been around. Very disciplined. I actually sometimes think that Trent and Trey and Braden like follow wrestling more than I do, because they know a lot of stats and college guys and international stuff. So they're really, really ate up with it. And then, you know, on top of that, we have some big kids. You know, our heavyweight last year ended up breaking his ankle at the regional tournament. I think he was the three seed, and so he didn't get to go. And then we have Tucker Davis, who won regionals as a sophomore at 220, and then Brian Jacket at 195. So we have some big boys coming back. I'm really excited about some of the young kids that people don't know about. Kedrick Emling, he should have a good year for us. He's wrestled varsity off and on the last 2 years. I think he'll be solid. He'll surprise some people. And then we got some other kids that are good. I mean, we have some real tough kids. Jerome Young, Chandler Angleton, Ty Gilmore, Jacob Brinkman. I mean, we have a solid room. And so that is really exciting and to see what happens. But I think we're going to go out and try to score points and have fun and keep focused on us and try not to worry about other people, but worry about scoring points every time we go out and wrestle. And I think we should be good to go.
All right. Well, seemed like scoring points and having fun work this year.
Yeah. So. You know, I mean, I think you notice, like, I mean, that's what you and I always talk about, just noticing what's going on. I think it's tough to find the right amount of pressure, you know? And sometimes, you know, you can maybe put too much pressure on kids. I think there should be pressure, obviously, you know. I think all pressure is good, but I think, you know, 2019, I think I put too much pressure on the team, and I feel like that's a big reason we didn't place. I mean, we lost the teams that we had beaten all year by a lot of points, and so I really felt like it was myself, and I wasn't myself that weekend. I wasn't joking around. I mean, Coach, I didn't even seem like the same person. So I think, you know, finding the right amount of pressure to put on your athletes is big. And then, heck, you know, if you've been around Cale Sanderson and those guys, I mean, they're obviously doing something right. They seem pretty relaxed when their guys are wrestling, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been visiting with 2020 4A Coach of the Year, Andy Albright of Chanute High School. Coach, thanks for taking the time and good luck to you.
Thank you for everything you do, Pat. Appreciate it.
This has been Patrick Kelly with the KWCA podcast, reminding you to get your registration in for the 2020 KWCA Virtual Fall Clinic. Registration is open at kansaswrestling.org. Until next time, thanks for listening.